Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Is everybody doing well? It's only 4 weeks since Faith Camp. Seems a long time ago, doesn't it? But it's only a few weeks. Great, if you want to turn to Numbers chapter 20, we're going to have a short look into there. Promises, promises. Chapter 20 of Numbers. Just want to read a couple of things and just comment on a couple of things. Then we're going to pray together. The guys here, the nation of Israel, is a community. They arrived, it says in the verse, in the desert of Zin, and they stayed there at Kadesh. And in verse 2, now there was no water in the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. And he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. And this is, it says here, these were the waters of Meribah where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he showed himself holy among them. God wants to show himself holy in our town, in our community, in our region. And these guys, the nation, were grumbling and moaning against Moses and Aaron because they were saying, you brought us into a place where there's no supply, there's no goodness, there's no food, there's no water. There's nothing in the natural that seems to be good. And you've brought us out of a place where it might not have been good, but it was better than where we are. So why don't you take us back there? You know, even that place of death, they were saying, was better than the place we're in now. And there's a cry out in society. There's a cry in people's hearts and lives out there that they might have everything in the natural. They might have things going for them in terms of what they think is going to fulfill their lives. But actually, deep down within people out there, whether they are obviously in need and in a place where they need something to happen, or whether outwardly they seem to have a good life, there seems to be a cry in the heart of every person as to, well, what is life really about? Where am I really going? Every person has those moments. It might be when they're lying on their bed at night and they just have a moment and they think, what am I actually doing here? Why am I alive? What's my purpose? It might be sometimes they're in the car driving on their way to work and they listen to something on the radio and it triggers a train of thought. What am I doing here? What? I'm me. I'm here. I'm in a car driving along. What am I? Who am I? What is life? There's things all around me, but where am I going? What is this thing all about? There are moments that every person has that makes them wonder, well, who am I? Where am I going? What is life all about? And in this scenario here, the people said to the leaders, said to the Moses and Aaron, look, you know, we're in a pretty desperate place here. Where are all of the supply of food? Where are the figs, the grapevines, the pomegranates and the different things they represented? Where is the water that we're to drink? And we can look round at family, friends, work colleagues. We can look at our community, society. We can easily look round And we can hear the complaints, the moans, the groans. How many of you, you know, were in you're at work, the general tone of the conversation is pretty negative? Yeah? You know, people are talking about something. Most of the time, if it's not about a work thing where you've got to plan or strategize or brainstorm, you know, when people are just talking about stuff, what is the tone of it? Most of it is pretty negative, isn't it? Or they're rubbishing something or having a go at this or something they don't like. What are they saying? There's no figs. There's no grapevines. There's no pomegranates. There's no water to drink. I've got nothing better to do with my time than just moan and complain because something's not the way I want it or something's not going in the way it should go because there's no real purpose that they've got to live for except for the moment. And in amongst all of that, in this situation, Moses and Aaron, their response was they went from the assembly and they went to the tent of meeting and they fell face down before God. And their cry was, God, you've got to do something. And what happened? The glory of the Lord appeared to Moses and Aaron. Now, we want to see more than we've seen so far, right? And we want to see more people's lives changed, transformed, people getting saved and all of that than we've seen before. We can hear the moans and the groans. We can hear the negativity. We can hear the cries, the genuine cries that were in people's hearts. But it's interesting what happened here. Moses and Aaron, they had an encounter with God. They met with God. God showed up in his glory. It doesn't just say the presence of God was there. It says the glory of God appeared to them. Now, what is the glory of God? The glory of God is when you see God in some way. So God appeared to them, and when he appeared to them, he said something to them in that moment of meeting with him. He said to them, take the staff and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. And then he said, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. How many of you know that rocks don't have water? But God was saying here, it will pour out its water. So there was something God was going to do. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So they had an encounter with God. So they did the right thing. They went before God. They fell face down. And at that moment, the glory of the Lord appeared and God spoke because that's what they wanted. They knew that they had to go to God to get what God wanted to do or say or the answer needed to meet the need of the people. And at that moment, God appeared and he spoke. And so they were doing well at this point. So they got up and they went and gathered the assembly, got everybody together. And then this is what Moses said to these guys. Listen to this. Verse 9. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And then Moses really encouraged the people, motivated them, inspired them, really built them up. And he said, listen, you rebels, you renegades, you bunch of moaners, you negative bunch of whatsoevers, you know. He kind of got the assembly together and he called them a right old bunch of rebels. What did he do? You know, he might have had an encounter with God and God appeared and showed him, but he came and addressed the people with the wrong heart and the wrong attitude. And so he had a right old moan at the people. But then what did he do? He grabbed the staff that he'd used before when God said previously in another place, hit a rock and the water's going to come out to supply for the people. He went and took the rock and instead of doing what God had said to him in terms of speak to the rock and the water will come out, he got his staff and in frustration, he whacked this thing a couple of times and he said to these guys, so you're a bunch of rebels. You're expecting us to bring water out of the rock because you're moaning, complaining, you're grumbling, you're this and that and the other. Oh, well, and whack, whack, and out came the water. Now, the amazing thing is God still supplied the water because his heart is to actually meet the need of the people. But there was a bit of an issue that followed that. Let's look at verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Wow. So God still supplied, but God had a problem. And he had a problem with these two guys who, although he met with them and revealed to them what he wanted to do and said, go and speak and something's going to happen, Moses had this underlying moan in his heart or attitude in his heart. And so he went out and instead of doing what God said, he relied on what he'd done before. How many of you know that when you get in the flesh, then you tend to kind of look back to how something worked before and you put your trust in a method in the way you've done something before. And it's interesting here that God is not necessarily after the outcome. What he's more concerned with is the heart of Moses and the attitude that he had. And sometimes we can get so focused on the outcome because God's heart is for the right outcome. His heart is to feed the people, supply water for the people. But it's interesting that it wasn't just Moses and Aaron that didn't end up going into the land. There was a whole generation of people that didn't go into the land either. It was like there was a generation that was bypassed and the next generation after then went into the promised land. Now, God has been speaking to us about three generations of people, that he's not just after a younger generation coming up now and they're the bee's knees. He's talking about moving through every generation and bringing three generations together to reveal and release the purposes of God to every age group, to every sphere of society out there through our lives and through other churches and other believers. And so collectively, you know, our heart, as we're amongst many people every day who have a moan and complain about life, who have a negativity, you know, about life, they're the ones right in the midst of that where God is putting us right in the middle of that to bring change. It's interesting how God always wants to put us in a situation where there needs to be change. We've heard from Matt and Rowan this morning, wow, if there's, I mean, what a situation. Maybe 500 believers in the whole nation, in the whole country. What's the population? How many million is it, the population? So you've got 4 million population and 500 believers. I don't know what the percentage that is then. 0.01 or something. I don't know what that might be. But it's not many. 500 believers amongst 4 million. Man, they've got a mission on their hands over there, right? But we've got the same in this country. We've got a mission on our hands. The song we kind of ended up, well, we only did one this morning, but the one we ended up doing the whole time, man, that is like a declaration of intent from heaven about what he's doing on the earth. When he talks about a generation rising, that's not just about young people. That's about a generation of believer. That's about the kind of believer that God is wanting to raise up at this time, the way of thinking, the heart, the spirit, the faith, the love, the whole kind of dynamic of who he is in their life. It's about raising up that kind of believer, that kind of Christian, that kind of person who is carrying something, living with something, has got a cause that is kind of going off on the inside of them. So no matter where God has placed any one of us in life, whatever job, whatever career, whatever sphere of life out there, there's something stirring on the inside of you that says now is the time. Now is the time for a generation. Now is the time for saints to start moving. Now is the time to see God move in our nation more than we've ever had before. I'm part of that generation. I'm one of those who is standing up on the inside. Therefore, I'm going to stand up on the outside then because of something that is standing up on the inside. Even when I don't hear the moans and complaints. I mean, it's interesting how Moses initially didn't go and moan to God. He thought, man, I've got to get before God because I need an answer. And in one sense, that's what the 24-hour prayer strategy is. It's the thing that God has really laid in our hearts to be doing. It is really us getting before God and crying out to God for our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues, the towns, the cities, the villages in this nation and in other nations. It's like us getting before God, falling face down before God. We might physically do that, or it might be in terms of our heart as we pray, however the Holy Spirit leads to pray in a given situation. That what we're basically doing is falling face down, saying, God, there's so much out there in the natural. We can't meet it. We can't fulfill it. We can't do it. So, God, we want to come before you, fall face down and say, God, you do what only you can do. Give us the answer. But it's interesting how the answer God gave him was very, very simple. He just said, speak. He didn't even have to do anything in that particular situation. But yet he did take matters into his own hands. And God still supplied for the people. Now, in that moment, there was supply, but there was a whole generation that didn't end up going into the promised land. Because God said at that moment, he said, you didn't honour me, and so I couldn't reveal myself as holy. Now, we can do things in our own strength, and things do happen. I mean, there are businesses out there that are run by unsaved people. There are all kinds of great ideas and pioneering things going on that God's not in. Because man has quite an ability to accomplish and achieve certain things and do things in the natural. But God doesn't want us to just achieve things. He wants to do things that are eternal. Because his purposes are eternal. And there's something here that God is saying to these guys, saying, Moses, if you'd just spoken in the way that I revealed myself to you in the tent of meeting, I would have revealed myself to them at that moment. And something would have changed in the heart of the nation. But what you did, you took matters in your own hand and you had a bit of an attitude and you whacked the rock. And I still supplied at that moment because that's my heart. I want people to see who I am. I want people to know who I am. But if you do something in the way that I'm showing you to or whatever I tell you to do, then there's not just something I'm going to do at that moment, but there's something I'm going to reveal of who I am that's going to change the heart of a whole body of people, of a whole nation. And I believe as we come into this new kind of season, autumn time and everything, that God wants to simplify some stuff for us and the simplicity of hearing his voice and just doing what he says. And Jane and I have been on holiday, you know, we've kind of just reading, praying, talking at different times. And God was challenging us before Faith Camp. And I think he said this on a number of occasions, whether it's here or at Faith Camp. Are we prepared for God to interrupt our schedule? And one of the things that he's been talking to us about is the value of people and how highly God values us as people and how highly we need to value one another and everything. And God's been challenging us about some of our thinking or attitudes or whatever and lining it up with this kind of thing. And God said to me while I was on holiday, Clive, he said, I'm not really interested in whether you're successful or not. He said, I've called you to be fruitful. But fruitfulness comes out of being obedient. And obedience means you just simply want to do what I want to do. And if you just simply hear what I'm saying and do what I want you to do, it simplifies everything, takes the pressure out of it. But then you'll begin to see more of what I've been saying and you begin to be fruitful. So it's like God saying, don't look for the end result. If you just hear what I'm saying and do what I'm telling you to do, you'll see what I'm promising you and what I'm saying. But don't try and get the end result. Don't try and produce the fruit yourself. Don't try and have what we would term a success. Don't try and be successful. But just humble yourself. Come and be face down before me. Let me speak to you and show you how I want to bring the water out of impossible situations. I mean, who would think water's going to come out of a rock? Things might look dry out there. Things might not look possible. But if you simply just do what I tell you to do, life is going to come from situations that look impossible. And I'm going to feed people, supply people. I'm going to do things in people's lives out of what seems impossible. Because most people out there, they have no concept of God and what he can do in people's lives. But only needs one or two in a situation. Only two here that went before God, heard from God, came. God still supplied. There was a bit of an attitude in there. And God nailed that one, obviously. And for Jane and I, it was like, God, just sift our hearts then. Where our motives are not right, or we have an attitude that's not lined up with you. Or, you know, the way he got before the people, he called them a bunch of rebels. You know, God didn't say to him, speak and tell them they're a bunch of rebels. God's heart was, although he knew they were moaning, complaining, it was just, I want to supply for them. But if you do it the way I'm going to do it, I'll reveal myself in such a way that is holy that will then cause them to respond to me. Because there are other moments in Scripture where they did what God said and the people fell face down before God and they worshipped. But the people didn't worship at the end of this one. They just consumed the water and then within a few verses, they started moaning again. And there's something about our heart attitude and motives connected with obedience, which then connects God being revealed into people's lives, which then has an eternal or a long-term effect. Amen. So we're just going to spend a few minutes just praying Now, before we finish this morning, we're going to worship at the end. So if the band can come up, that'd be great. But let's stand together. And this word this morning is not saying we've all got a bunch of bad hearts or anything like that. But it's basically just to say, Father, we're coming into a new season of time. And you're going to be showing us how we're going to move forward. Next Sunday, we'll be kind of going into much more stuff as to how we're going to move forward more as a church and everything. I'm going off today and tomorrow for a couple of days just to spend time praying through a whole load of things. And so, you know, next Sunday, we're going to look at some things and how God wants to move us forward. But it's really just to check the motives and the intention of our hearts. Moses did the right thing. He fell face down. God, I don't know what to say to these guys. I feel out of my depth. I'm not sure. I can't fulfill the needs because they're too great. So he falls face down and God's like, brilliant. So God reveals himself, shows up. He says, Moses, all you got to do is speak. Oh, thanks. And he goes out. Between that point and gathering the people, the frustration that's been building because he didn't deal with it when he was with God came out at that moment. And so part of it is, you know, when we're with people, and the challenge, isn't it, when we're with people is sometimes we're okay for a little while. Yeah. And as somebody begins to niggle us because we don't necessarily hit it off with them all the time, or somebody's just persisting in a certain attitude or way of thinking, I'm talking about saved or unsaved people, anybody here for a moment, you know, we can be nice to each other for a bit, can't we? But, you know, sometimes, you know, if somebody's got a particular issue, it can test our patience. Anybody ever had that? And you think, why don't you just get a grip there? You know what I mean? Why don't you just get it sorted, you know? And what begins to happen is the frustration that you can handle begins to come to the surface or whatever, that kind of thing. And it's like last week, there was just a release of grace and peace in different ways. And God is gracing us to fulfill his purposes or to see his purposes fulfilled. And so God is gracing us to be with people. That doesn't mean we're perfect and other people aren't by any means, because none of us are perfect in and of ourselves and everything. But God wants to grace in a fresh way patience, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit there, but to constantly be able to give, to love, to go the extra mile with people in the workplace, those that might wind you up, friends, neighbours, family, I don't know what's going on. But in the presence of God, it's like, oh God, you're brilliant, you're awesome. And we all are like, yeah, you know, my heart is for this, that and the other. But then suddenly you can be in a moment or in the situation and something begins to surface and you can respond with, oh, you know, a bit of frustration here, a bit of an attitude there. And in the word there, it stopped Aaron and Moses entering into something that as far as we were aware, they were going to enter into. And an whole generation then didn't enter into it. And it's like, Father, I know for us, we've been like, Father, we don't want to have anything in our hearts that stops us entering into anything or anybody else entering into anything. And we certainly don't want to have anything like that going on in our lives. So it's like, God, continue to work deeply in me. But what is it about? It's about us being able to take what God says and simply do whatever he says, and then God reveals himself into people's lives, into situations, and then things are going to change. We don't have to try and change people. We don't have to try and change everything out there. We've just simply got to be who God's called us to be. We've just simply got to do whatever God says to do, and God wants to make it really simple for us. And there's breakthroughs in people's lives in this season of time, these next few months, that God wants to see happen, not just in our lives, but people that we're reaching out to, whether it's family members, friends, or whatever context. And God wants to take the pressure off where you might feel, I've got to see something out, I've got to make that happen. No, you don't have to make that happen. Moses took it into his own hands for a moment, tried to make something happen, whack the rock. God still did something, but it stopped short of what he really wanted to do. So let's just take a few moments just to pray, first of all, and just surrender our hearts in a fresh way. And we're going to have some times this autumn of being face down before God. Now, I don't know, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to lie flat on the floor in the meetings, but it's a position of our hearts. There's a dependence on God. That's what he was doing. When he went in and fell face down, he was basically saying, God, I'm totally dependent on you. I can't lead these people. I can't meet their needs. I haven't got everything in my own effort to supply. You've got to do something that's beyond the natural here. And I think that's the place we could all say we're at in terms of seeing the lives come right through that we're reaching out to. God, I can't do it. Only you can do it. And it's like God saying, well, just come and fall face down then. Just put your trust totally in me. Let me speak. Let me show you. Let me give you the key. And as you just do that, then I'm not just going to meet the person's need. I'm going to reveal who I am. And there's going to be a change of heart, a change of what takes place then, not just in one, but in many as a result. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that your heart is to meet the needs of every person out there. Father, I thank you that you're stirring in us, and we thank you for what has been happening these past few months and lives being touched and changed. But Father, I thank you for you revealing yourself to us as a body of people in these next few months in a fresh way. In our hearts, the position of our hearts, as we fall face down before you, whether that's physically or whether that's in our hearts and however that's done. Just take a few moments to, if you know you're getting niggled in certain situations or there's certain people that you've got a heart for, but there's a bit of testing going on in terms of your struggle with how they are, or they're not responding in the way you wanted them to, or they're not seeing what you wanted to see. Moses was getting fed up because they constantly moaned and complained, and that's why he spoke to them like he did. It's like, Father, just work in my heart. I thank you for your heart. Father, where I've been short with somebody, forgive me. Where I've been just agitated, ask you to forgive me. Where I've just been, had a bad attitude, Father, forgive me. Just thanking for the Holy Spirit right now, for the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the patience, the love, the kindness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the goodness, the self-control. Father, thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, the life of your Spirit, just surging through our lives, Father, that no matter what we hear around us, that we don't join in the moaning and complaining. We don't join in and become one of those voices that says, yeah, you're right, the nation's this or the government's that, or the local authorities, this, out, and the other, or da 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 da. Father, we don't become any of those voices, but we're standing up with a voice of hope and with a voice of love and with actions that go with it, Father. That as we come face down and fall before you and cry out to you, Father, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your answers. We thank you for your ways. We thank you for the keys to unlock lives and everything that you want to do, Father. We thank you. We thank you that you speak. We thank you that you reveal. And that as we go back to people, we don't go with an attitude that they're rebels. But we go with such a heart of love, compassion, grace, mercy. That we don't go with suspicion either in our hearts. But we make ourselves vulnerable. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you've equipped every one of us with your Holy Spirit. If you know you're in situations and sometimes you think, I just don't know what to say. I haven't got a clue. Your mind goes blank. And it's like, God, I don't know what to say here. Somebody's talking, but I need your wisdom. Just raise your hands now if you need that spirit of wisdom. And you're in situations and sometimes you think, God, I need word of knowledge. Or I'd love to hear something from you now, Father, just to speak to this person and give them some wisdom or something. God, I want you to move, but I don't know what to do. Your mouth freezes up and your tongue goes, it stops and everything just seems to get to a halt. You're thinking, if so-and-so was here, they would know what to say. Or if this person here, they'd have a word of knowledge now. Well, God wants to work through you and me. Just raise both your hands now if you know, Father, I want that wisdom. I want to move with that kind of knowledge. Father, I thank you, not just for my own thing, but so that somebody's life can be impacted with you, so that somebody can be connected with you, so that somebody can be healed or saved or something takes place in their life. Father, that's what's in my heart. It's not just because I want a word of knowledge. It's because I want people's lives changed. Father, I thank you right now for the spirit of wisdom to be released into people's lives this morning. The spirit of wisdom to be released right now. That instead of tongues going dry and mouths closing up, Father, there'll just be a flow of your thoughts right into our thoughts so that we can speak, and there are keys that unlock people's lives, that unlocks the soul where it's just captive to stuff. Father, I thank you for words of knowledge, your thoughts coming into our thoughts so that we know what to say, how to say it, and what then flows on from there, Father, as you lead us by your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of life. Thank you for words of power. He said to him, speak and the rock will just flow with water. Father, I thank you that you're going to put words in our minds and in our mouths so that we speak and the water of life is going to flow into other people's lives. Needs are going to be met. Lives are going to be changed. Things are going to take place because we simply just speak your words of life to other people. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you're wonderful. You're awesome.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.